time to talk to Peter Allam, and we're talking maintenance issues this morning. And the question is, can, if maintenance is in arrears, can visitation be prevented? And with that, Peter, very, very good morning and welcome on this Monday morning.
Yes, fine morning to you. I'm in Johannesburg today. It's a little bit overcast. Yeah, but sure, it's nice and sunny down there. It seems like we've had a hell of a weekend with all the sea storms that we've had that have washed ashore. Anyway, this morning's topic, a very interesting one, yes. You know, it's maintenance for versus access to, I always call it. And it's almost like a cake, although they're both important ingredients for a happy post-divorce relationship. You know, it must not be regarded as one. They are two completely separate ingredients. That's the simple way of putting it. So we'll deal with both. You know, we'll deal with bad dads, bad moms that don't pay maintenance because the child can go to either mom or dad. And the same thing with access to the children after a divorce. In a lot of instances, you know, parents refuse the other access because maintenance has not been paid, and they think it's a joke and they think it's a big deal, but it's quite dangerous to do that. You know, just at the start as well, there are so many people out there that have got divorced and that prevent the children from seeing the other parent, make them out to be complete monsters and things like that. I'm not saying that there are instances where that doesn't happen, but you know, you need to be cautious. You know, how often do I see that I'm in a social group and somebody says, oh, I've refused my husband access to the children because he doesn't pay his maintenance. You know, when people are face to face with you, they say, oh, that's a very good thing. But behind your back, they're talking, they say, what a terrible mother that is. You know, to keep the children, you only have one mother and one father. What are you doing, keeping them away? Why are you not communicating? Why are you not sorting it out? And, I mean, I know grown children that are in their 30s, 40s that have refused to see their dad. Over the mother advising, he was a really bad dad, girlfriends all the time and things like that. But you know, when you point a finger, they see that point back at you. You must be careful.
Right.
Because the people are laughing at you. Say, have you actually assessed the position and seen who was the true cause? You know, if dad's gone off with girlfriends, you're not satisfying him. If mom's gone off with boyfriends, you're not satisfying him. You know, it's completely turnabout that it happens. So if you're a parent out there and you're listening and you're one of those that falls into either of these categories, that is not paying maintenance or not giving access, think. See what you can do. You know, you'll be a lot better off if you can mediate it through a friend, through an attorney, and try and get to a happy medium. It's a much bigger and better situation. Anyway, so we'll go now on to the two differences. Let's take first the party that doesn't pay maintenance. You know, and often it's a case of, I'm not going to pay maintenance because I don't get proper access. Forget it. Do the noble thing. You know, the court orders the parent to pay child support. Whether you come out of a divorce or whether it's a child born out of wedlock, you can get an order in that regard. So the person refusing or failing to pay is really, really putting himself at danger. One can understand, and I always say, also have a look at what the circumstances are. You know, don't just say, daddy got remarried, he's got a new wife, he's got a child, he's paying for them, but he's not paying for us. It happens. It's a sad situation. But you need to have a look at what the true position is of the other party. You don't have to. You're not only a good dad because you're paying maintenance. You may be a good dad because of the support you give to your children, taking them to and from school after the divorce, taking them for weekends and that type of thing. Giving what you can because maybe you can't afford it. You know, money is the root of all evil, and money is sometimes not available. So, you know, that you need to assess it correctly. If you're a parent who has blocked out on payment, who has arrears, what can you do? Well, the first thing that you need to make sure is that there is an order in place. You know, not can just say that it's absolutely necessary, because a lot of people will be on a maintenance amount and they pay it without any hesitation. But then you get, I call them monsters, that do not pay and do not give any explanation, or you get a situation where the new wife maybe intervenes and says, you're not paying for that kid. If you love me, you're going to pay for my family type of thing. It's all wrong. So, yes, there should be an order in place, and you can utilize that order to take things further. What can you do? You go back to the maintenance board. You tell them of the arrears. They will give you a date, have a hearing, and make a fixed order in that regard. So people say, so I've got an order now, what can I do? Well, there are many ways of getting that money. If the person has executable property, you can issue a warrant of execution. The maintenance court will assist you with that against the movable property first. If there's no movable property, but immovable property, you have a right to attach that as well. It shouldn't get to that, but the sheriff has the right to attach and sell, and you can recover your money that way. You know, it adds a bit of fuel to the fire, but correctly so. The party that owes the money should be sorting and making an arrangement. The other common thing that's done these days is a mum's attachment order. In other words, a garnishing order, as we called in the old days, deducted from the party's pay. So if you have arrears and if you have maintenance that's not being paid, I think it's Section 28 of the Maintenance Act, the court can order monthly payments, attach it to the salary of the party concerned, and a monthly debit order will be received by yourself until such time as the maintenance has been brought up to date and the payments are done till the child turns 18 or later, depending on what the child's going to do. An interesting one that people don't realize is that, let's say that you were married to somebody that has a business and he has monies owed to him, you can attach those debts. It's quite an easy thing to do. You know, you can get an attachment there as well of the monies owed to the third party. And that will pay for you. And of course, the worst one, not the worst one, it's necessary in some instances, is that you can get criminal charges laid against the party not paying, which can result in a imprisonment or a fine or both, you know, imprisonment and a fine. So it's not an easy thing. If you come to court and you don't give a proper reason to the court for your failure to pay for the arrears that you have, you can end up going to jail. So you need to be very, very careful in that regard as well. So there are a number of remedies under the Maintenance Act which you need to, you know, understand and apply diligently, so as not to harm the interests of the child. You know, so many people use a child as a yo-yo, using no pay, no visit, visit, no pay type of thing. Very wrong. You know, it's clear that the best interests of the child should always be observed and taken into account. So from a money point of view, yes, you can't survive without money because you have to live. But at the same time, check what the circumstances are. You know, it's best to have a happy, a healthy relationship with your ex or with the father of the father / mother of the child, depending on who's got custody. And like I say, with maintenance, custody these days can go either way. You know, you get shared custody to the extent that the court will allow a parent a 3-4 split in a week. In other words, one parent has it for 3 days, has a child, not it. It's not a it, it's a child. For 3 days, the other for 4, the next week it reverses around like that, or a week for week and things like that. So there are a lot of ways these days of making the child happy. And that depends, I suppose, on the child's age, you know, the love shown to the child by the parents. To me, the most important thing is the child. I'm not concerned about two parties who have had an irretrievable breakdown because they haven't been able to see eye to eye with each other. The child is so important. It's not abuse of the child. So if we go along the other way and we now look at, I don't think there are any questions, Wayne, on the maintenance part.
Okay, Peter, are you there?
still there?
Yes, yeah, we're still here.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just saying, have you got any questions on the maintenance side of it?
No, just sort of some an observation in that, and I think this is part of what you're going to allude to as well, is that it's the maintenance orders are not like an Eskom account where if you stop paying, you get cut off. It's obviously a little bit more complicated than that, and as it's based on court orders, it's equally important for both parties to actually abide by the court orders, irrespective of the conditions.
I think that's a wonderful way. In fact, I would use that going forward, like an Eskom account. It's not the end. It's so true what you're saying. It's exactly what I'm saying about the kid. It's not a yo-yo. Mm. It's not a case of, if you don't pay, that's it. You cut off. You're not going to see. So, yes, that's a wonderful way of describing it. So, yes, we're going to come to the custody side now of it. That's basically on maintenance. Maintenance is of utmost importance. Don't get me wrong. People should pay maintenance, I always say to people when they come in, you need a roof over your head and you need to make sure that you've got food on the table. Food on the table doesn't mean only for you. It means for those children or sometimes you get a mother and child that's been left destitute because of the fact that the parties haven't worked or something like that. But yes, maintenance is important and access is equally important. When you turn to access now, the consequences of not obeying a court order in respect of the contact side of a minor child is dangerous. In fact, there's a judgment where the denied parent, was granted access to the child, and the other parent was actually sentenced to a 3-year imprisonment. Okay, it was suspended, but it's very important, and it's the type of thing that you can do. So if you are a grieved parent and you're not getting access, you have a right to ensure that your access is looked after. So there was an application recently where the parent was denied contact. It had been going on for a period of about 3 years, I think if I read correctly in the matter. The primary residence was with the mother, but because the mother and granny lived together and between the two of them controlled the child and refused to bother access because he was in arrears with his maintenance, not paying in this particular instance. He was paying, but they don't give the reasons why he didn't pay for a while because it didn't come into the picture. Like I said, maintenance and access are two completely separate ingredients for this particular situation. So it's not access dependent on payment, nor is it payment dependent on access. There is a duty to make sure that everything is in place. You often get a case where the mother says, well, I can't afford to send the child because you don't pay. And then the family come together and say, okay, we'll pay the transport, we'll pay the air flight if it's to another country, or we'll come and purchase a child, and that type of thing. How often don't you also see, the latest vital thing in this day of age, everybody has a cell phone. So how often don't I come across parents that just say to me, all I want to do is make a call to my child. The child is not allowed to take calls from me, my phone is blocked, or the mother has threatened the child that if she answers my calls, there's trouble. That leads to the child being sneaky behind the other parent's back and things like that, which is also not the right thing to have. So, we've got laptops, you've got to communicate laptops, cell phones. You get these secret calls where you phone the child's best friend and the other parent doesn't pick it up. It shouldn't happen. Don't do that. The court order against the defaulting parent where access is being denied, part of your bringing up of a child is that you are enabled and allowed access to the child. Of course, there are circumstances that prevent that as well. I mean, you know, if the other party's a real baddie, doesn't care and that type of thing. But then you can also ensure that you get visitation rights that are done under the guidance of maybe a minister or or social welfare worker or something like that. So there are all ways of doing it. Don't make it worse for you by denying it. You know, you've got to be careful because in most instances you're going to find that there is a court order that allows for the access. You can't say you don't know about the court order because you would have been part and parcel of it or you would have been present when it was made. And you can't, when you know that there's an order, decide that you're going to take the law into your own hands and rather deny access despite the order that's before you. So in that matter that I was talking about, yes, that is what happened. The mother and the grandmother refused access, hid the child, refused telephonic access, refused laptop access, refused him the right to go to the school and see the child, all sorts of things. I mean, he tried everything. And eventually what he did is that he brought an application to the High Court, which he was successful with. You know, his access was granted to him. And the two of them, both the mother and the grandmother in this particular instance, received criminal records and a sentence. Okay, the sentence was only suspended, I think, for a period of about 3 to 5 years. I don't have the case in front of me. But it was ordered that, you know, in this instance, I said a social worker or whatever, but I think in that one, a curator was appointed to act and sort out the matter properly, which is now being done. But you don't want those circumstances. You don't want to end up with a criminal record over access to a child. You don't want to end up with a criminal record for failing to pay. Criminal records are terrible things. These days, you don't get away with noting on an application for employment, do you have any criminal record? It doesn't give you a chance to explain it. It's mostly a yes or a no. If you lie, you're done. If you say yes, you're probably also done because they don't want to, you know, a criminal working for them. They don't know what it is. They don't know what the circumstances are. So, you know, it's best that you prevent getting a record in these circumstances. It's a terrible thing. Like I say, you know, think of the child. Think of the best interests of the child, as the court always says. You know, the biggest ingredient there is best interests of a child. And as I say, it is necessary to pay to be able to maintain the child, and it is necessary to grant access to have that healthy relationship between the father and mother.
And Peter, it's very interesting and obviously a misconception, and as you clearly demonstrated with the fact that the person was actually sentenced, but the two concepts of maintenance and access are actually two separate entities, if I can look at it in lay terms, where the one is not actually conditional on the other. They are two, almost, if I can call them, two separate orders, where in the one case the person is ordered to pay X amount, and in the other case they are ordered that they are allowed that much. But the two aren't dependent. You know, it's not conditional, the one conditional on the other. And that's obviously, in that case, where the misconception was.
Yeah, you know, that's what you've got to be careful of. Don't confuse the two. Don't think that the one goes with the other. You know, we spoke about maintenance earlier in the year, but this is actually setting out now and clarifying exactly what the position is. You know, money versus visitation. It's a sad situation.
Yeah.
And it's always so pleasing to see. My own personal opinion, I find it so nice when I have friends who have maybe not made it together and they are apart, and then I see a happy mom and a happy dad with the children that have maybe grown up with my children, you know, where they are as happy as can be. I heard the other day, in fact, I'm up here in Joburg, and my daughter told me in the complex where she is that, you know, the mother and the father four homes in the same little enclosed area, and the child's free to be at either of the two homes because it's a closed-in, comfortable area. And that, to me, gives me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
You know, the interest of the child is at its best there. I suppose you've just done one for instance where the child says, oh, supper at home with mommy's not so good, I'm going to have supper with daddy at bed.
Yeah, or maybe dad's got takeout tonight and mom's cooking something that's not the favorite.
I suppose it's all got its pros and cons, but a happy family after divorce excites me. And it's in the best interest of the child.
Of the children, you know, at the end of the
day. That's what I always
say. Yes. Well, very, very interesting. And as you pointed out, and you know, we probably can't stress it enough, that the two concepts or the two orders are actually not conditional on the other, but it obviously can get much, much more complicated than that. But Peter, I think what we'll do is we need to you know, call it here. But if somebody wants to get hold of you, maybe they've got an instance where they're needing advice or they're going through a process, how can they get hold of Alam's attorneys?
Yes, Wayne, they can get hold of us at 6 Sansom Road, Vincent, a little side street where Pet Stores in Endeavour Avenue, second house on the right. Telephone 043-721-018. I'll repeat, 043-721-018. They call in, they can set up an appointment. Other than that, Facebook, you know, they can go into your Facebook page, which shows where we are, our Facebook page. And yes, I mean, you know, I've been able to maintain the chats thanks to you sending me the recording each week, so it's quite nicely on there. People can go back and see any of our chats if they missed out on one of the chats we've had, but remember, Al, I heard this. You know, if they go on there now, I'm ensuring that it's posted weekly, and you know, for example, the insurance and the car accident docs are on there as well for them to use. So just like us on Facebook or go onto the Wild Coast FM Facebook and they'll find all
that. We'll be there. And of course, today's chat will be posted a little bit later this morning as well. And it'll be available to re-listen to as well. But Peter, safe travels when you come back from Joburg, and we'll chat again next week Monday.
Yes, thank you, Wayne. Enjoy your day and our listeners.
Thank you very much. That's Peter Alam with today's chats, Legal Eagle Chats. Very, very interesting. And as we mentioned,